This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to blast him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Happy Friday and draft day. And Rasmus Ristolainen trade day. I wish it were true that, well, sorry, I don't mean to scare you. The trade is real, apparently. I wish it were true that you could, you know, picture me sitting here today in like a Randy Macho Man Savage type outfit or something. I feel and look like I almost always do, sort of like clothes that are just a little bit too small, dressed very casually.
All right.
It's kind of a normal day for me.
Thanks for painting the picture.
Yeah, right. But it has happened.
No face paint.
You want Jim Lampley calling the Foreman win over, I think, Michael Moore. It happened like that. Jim Lampley voice.
Dude, it didn't just happen. Like, it happened. Like, it's all capital letters. It happened. Are you kidding?
Is it a bigger upset than Foreman winning the heavyweight title at, like, 50 or whatever he was?
Yes. Maybe. Yes, it is. Yes. Yes, we were, right? We were ready to expose him to the expansion draft. The 13th pick. And a pick in 2 years, and some dude, I mean, whatever, dude, sorry, we don't care about you that much. Oh, my God. I'm blown away. I'm just absolutely blown away. I cannot believe they got that high a pick. I was listening this morning to Darren Drager on with the Instigators talking about, I think he might have even mentioned Philly specifically. They've got 13, they still like Ristolainen, and I'm in my truck going, they just traded for Ryan Ellis. Like, I know they just opened up more cap room, but come on. And the 13th pick, I'm thinking to myself, what? No, that can't happen. I can't believe that could be real. And, like, here we are. It's amazing.
It is. I need to know how they did it. Like, were there other teams? Maybe there were. Maybe there was another
team. There were other teams. I'm seeing reports that Kevin Adams told other teams with draft picks lower than Philadelphia's that wasn't good enough. Their first round pick wasn't good enough. It's in the 20s. Get out of here. This is Rasmus Ristolainen. We're trading you. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's probably right. There probably were other teams, believe it or not. That's what's been said lately. Winnipeg was mentioned again. Montreal may have been mentioned again.
Vancouver was mentioned this morning by Drager. It's amazing. It's amazing. And tonight just got that much more interesting. And, you know, I'm I'm sorry, I'm going to be the guy that says it. I don't think they're done. They might get another first-round pick. Maybe they got 13 to swap to somebody, you know, to like ease the cushion of giving up 3 or 8 or I don't know what. Maybe they'll get 21 from Minnesota or 26. What are Minnesota's picks again?
21, 25 maybe.
Okay. Maybe they'll get one of those to pair with 13 to get up to like 5, 6 somewhere in the top 10. I don't know. Like that he pulled this off just like opens the next 4 hours or 5 hours to me. Like it's an open runway. Just like nothing is out of the question.
Yeah, it seems like a really good job. I mean, he had a player here who, statistically speaking, was really terrible for a long time. Like, it wasn't just like sort of an off year. Ristolainen really never had a good year. But this sport, this league, I mean, there are those teams. The Sabres have been one of those teams. Today, among other things, is a day to perhaps consider that they're not anymore one of those teams that would do trades like this from the other side. You know, like it's a sport where most teams are pretty even, and Philadelphia is pretty good. They're decent. So maybe they'll win, you know, but he was dragging this team down so badly for so long that they reached a point where they feel like they have to get rid of their actual good players to try to start over. I mean, he's not the only thing that contributed to that, but he was, I think, the biggest. And it just went on and on and on. Like, a Ristolainen trade, not even this good in terms of the return, but a few years ago might have us in a different place. I don't know. I want to say it at least once because it's all maybe. It's just the frustration I've felt about the Sabres. It just he's always, like, right there at the front of it because it just nothing ever changed. They changed coaches all the time, and everybody fell in love with them, apparently. So yes, it's not – it's to me, pretty much also shocking that this happened for this kind of a package. But it's not in the sense that this happens in the NHL. We've seen some downright screwy trades, really terrible moves. And so it did always kind of seem like it should have been possible to find someone to trade for him. And so today that actually happened. It's also exciting to think about the fact that I don't have to sit here today like yesterday wondering if anything is going to happen at all, right? Like, that did happen, so we have that to talk about, and maybe there will be more.
Yep, maybe there will. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I'm so excited. I don't even remember the tweet I retweeted from Darren Drager that followed the Ristolainen trade, but it was the one where he finally mentioned Montreal by name, perhaps being in on Eichel. But it's you know, the whole list of teams that we've talked about all along that were in and out and in and out, like, they're all there. Anaheim, L.A., Minnesota, and off the top rope, here comes Montreal. And that was the team that, if you were listening this morning, and I'll bet plenty of fans were, because, you know, one of those guys is on, you know, Thursday is Elliot Friedman, Friday is Darren Drager, and he was talking. It was really fun. I meant to text Andrew Peters after and compliment him, because he had as much fun as you can have, I think, with one of those guys who doesn't want to tell you what he knows. Like, Drager was playing coy about, there's another team, I don't want to say because I don't have it locked up yet, but there's another team, it's from the East, and Andrew just kept sort of, so Tampa Bay. So he just kept guessing at who
naming
the team
teams.
Was. Yes,
yeah.
It was wait, while wait. Drager was on with them, and it was great.
So there is actually an East again?
I think that's right, yes.
Okay, that's good.
Here's Montreal, and all the other teams that were thought to be in it are listed there, and it, you know, the impression I get is, like, this is heating up, and this could happen. And I just, you know, it's not quite, there's the framework, you know, one of those tweets from any of those guys. But it's encouraging and, to me, very exciting as we start today's show.
He also had a tweet about how Jack Eichel is training.
Right, skating and feeling great. Yeah, working out and skating, and he feels great.
Another reason why I've chosen not to care about the neck injury for the most part, right? Like, you mentioned how these guys come on the station and they just have not reported about how really, like, for the most part at least, such a trade is precluded by his health. And, you know, I don't know that that isn't the case, but I felt sort of free again today thinking about this when I saw that. Well, Ristolainen is officially Sabres history at this point. 542 games, 8 seasons,
13,000 minutes on the ice.
13,000 minutes, no playoffs. Anyway, what about the pick? 13. So, one thing about this draft, like the Sabres had the number one pick, and we've also talked about guys who might deserve to be or be expected to go in the top five when thinking about, say, Anaheim in an Eichel trade. 13, what else is there? There's the sort of the general consensus, I would say, that it's not the best year in the draft. What is 13? How does that work?
I feel like 13, the first thought I had was 13 is smack dab in the goalie zone. It's what I thought when I saw 13. Wallstat, Swedish goalie, and Kosa, I think Western Hockey League, are the two guys that are projected to be in the first round, and they're both, I don't mean there's no consensus on them, and some guys even have them flipped, I think, from what I've seen, but they're around there. So, you know, that's not my favorite idea. I think you can draft goalies later and develop them because they take a long time to develop anyway. So guys that are the best at 18 or 19, you know, they might be already just further along in development, and that doesn't mean they're going to be better when they're 22 necessarily. The other guys might catch up. So I would not really love that. I mean, I'm not going to be mad about it necessarily, but it's not my favorite idea. So I would hope they would do something else with that pick. I like the idea of swapping it out. Like if they can strike a deal and get like the extra asset from someone. What were we talking about, Minnesota yesterday, right? It was like four pieces. Well, what if we got to take one out? Well, okay, I guess. I think I still like it. Maybe having that pick, you know, gives you the flexibility to not worry so much about getting their first round pick because it's so low. Or if you're dealing with a team like Anaheim and they want to, you know, you want to get whatever you want to get from them, the keys are, you know, Zegras or Drysdale, and three is, you know, you'd love to get three, but they want to unload something else and you might like the something else. Maybe you can swap 13 for three and get up there and draft the Swedish the winger Eklund or maybe Matty Beniers doesn't go second. I don't know.
If you're willing to take money, maybe.
Yeah, maybe there's a way to make that work where you get the top prospect and that great pick and something else because you've got 13 to give them back when they give you three. So I think it gives them some more options, and I hope that I would think those are being explored. But just, you know, if they sit there and make the pick, I would fear goalie. But I feared that, I don't know, where were they picking when Spencer Knight was in the draft? Or no, it was maybe last year with Askarov. Either way, like, I'm always just like, no, please don't do that. don't do that. I mean, Spencer Knight looks great. But I don't know about spending those assets, premium assets on goalies. I'm a little worried about.
I definitely wouldn't do that. So I'm with you there. The losing has not meant, at least at the moment, at other times it looked more promising, but sort of like a ripe, rich, young, you know, up-and-coming group. The Sabres don't have that, so they need that. And the number one overall pick is always great, but you need more. One thing they haven't had all these years is anybody really emerge outside of the guys who they picked at the very top that absolutely everyone else would have also picked. So here's to changing that. Here's a pick that if they keep it in the middle of the first round, you know, that's important. That's a swing area where, like, you really want to do well there and you kind of need to almost. Different than the very top and then certainly different than the middle of the draft. So exciting, you know, exciting. It's a relief more than anything else. I don't get, like, super happy about this stuff because I feel like, you know, the guy's probably happy to leave, and I don't know. It just doesn't feel like the right feeling to think of, like, about this as sort of like happy, you know, like I'm relieved that they got to this point, however they got there. I'm excited about what they were able to do in the trade, and I'm hopeful that it can help lead to good things. You know, that's our team. And it's been really challenging. And this one player has been such a drag on me, I think on them, I know on a lot of fans. He's just been such an interesting player to have all these years because, like, I have a friend in Philadelphia who's asking me about him. I'm like, this guy is the perfect case study of the, like, he's the perfect eye test player.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's...
Yeah, yeah. He, I mean, I'll say this about him. Like look, I think he needed to be traded, and I respect what a drag he was on the team. But I don't think he obviously was not, and no one has ever said this, trying to be bad. Like, I think that guy worked his ass off.
Sure.
To be the best he could be. I mean, he is an animal. I've always been very impressed by his compete, by his honesty, his effort. Like, to me, everything was there, and that's why I think a lot of people liked him, because you look at him, you think, like, this guy is doing everything he possibly can to be the best that he can. And it just doesn't work. I mean, he just doesn't make good decisions with the puck, and it just doesn't work. But he maxes out to me on the effort meter, and, like, I have no doubt that he spilled everything he had every time he was doing anything involving the Buffalo Sabres.
Me neither.
And that's to his credit. Like, you know, so I want to at least have, you know, that said on this show once today while we're celebrating his leaving town.
Yeah, we can say it. I want everybody to always assume it, you know, that we're thinking it. Like, it's never personal. It's never about... I mean, it can be about work rate, I guess, if we know something, but that's always sort of like the assumption, right? That the guy is giving his best. It's just like, holy cow, with these results. Yeah. And he was so difficult, I think, for many, maybe especially those who don't care about or acknowledge those statistics, like, sort of difficult to comprehend as a liability, right? Because tell me what the problem is again. Like, he's big, he can move, he's got the good face, he's got the good name.
He gets Ovechkin mad at him. Like, you know,
yeah.
he does things that you generally I like seeing in games. Like, he's someone who has an edge to him, and there is something to be said for that. It doesn't offset the drag that he was on their overall play. You obviously want someone to play that way that actually, you know, is productive and helps the team.
Or else they shouldn't be out there.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like, you know, people are always ready, no matter whether it's close to right at all. They're always ready to tell you, like, the Sabres are soft. And here's a player that would never have been accused of that. So,
right.
Like, we can't replace that guy. But, you know, our team is worse when he plays, and he plays all the time. Let's fix that. So I think the Sabres did today. I think it looks like the player, I don't know anything of my own about this player they got, but in terms of those same sort of analyses, he's the same as Ristolainen, but he doesn't cost nearly as much. He won't play the most minutes, presumably, or even close to it, and maybe he'll be gone in a year. Like, I don't know if
right.
this is somebody the
yeah.
Sabres really wanted or what he represents here.
Yeah, it looks the same, and the thing that might be alarming about that is that he wasn't playing the minutes. He's playing more sheltered, like, third pair minutes and still struggling like that. So that's not a good sign. Like, I don't care. It does not matter to me at all what he is. Like, the pick, and even a second round pick in, you know, 2 years from now is nice. Like, I think if they had traded for this player, Hag, and a second round pick in 2 years, we might have gone on the air and said, well, you know, it's a second round pick. That's pretty nice.
I know.
We got to wait for it, and that's not ideal, but, hey, you know, that's a valuable asset, and, you know, maybe you can flip that for something else or whatever. And so, like, that's not nothing either. It's just it's far down the road, and I know, so that's very, very speculative what that will turn into. But, I mean, the player is, you know, no offense to the guy. I'm sure, you know, do I want to say he probably works really hard too? I mean, he's in the NHL. He works. It does not matter at all to me what he represents.
If
you'd rather get a good player than a bad player, but I don't care if he's bad. The pick is extremely valuable to me.
If this trade is just the one, I'm in love. If this trade is just the two, I'm happy. I'm good. Like, that's great. We did it. You know, the moment is here. The day has arrived. If it's just Ristolainen for the two, Like, that's a win. That would have been a win for me. Instead, they got both. So, you know, you have the guys I follow are just sort of incredulous. How did this possibly happen? Really, Ristolainen was, along over these years, what were the exact words from Joe's update? After years and years and years of speculation. Like, in the beginning, the idea, I think, was, or my idea was, like, you should be able to get a lot for him. And then as time went on, and his results always, you know, were bad, and you just had more and more reason and sometimes evidence, like Brian Burke, to think that he doesn't really have any value left in the league. Like, the league has evolved, not just on the ice, but off the ice. The game is different, and the league is different, and so now you're maybe stuck because the league has smartened up, and they don't want this player from you. But here we have, you know, Philadelphia. Kind of love that it's Philadelphia, right? Like, that sort of
fits so I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see him in features with Gritty.
Yeah, he's probably going to be good at that.
Yes, it'd be great,
right?
I see that. I see them wrestling or something. Anyway,
whatever. He was a good quote. He was a good quote.
Yeah. Well, there's also I've seen this point made. I think maybe Mike Catalana, Rochester TV guy, and Greg Wyshynski also, I think, tweeted something similarly themed that a team like the Flyers might be looking at recent history, Ryan O'Reilly as an example. Like, we'll just get him out of there, and he will fly and be free, and he will flourish. And, you know, I think there's a lot of data to tell you on Ristolainen that's going to be that's, you know, that's probably a long shot. But maybe in a certain way, the Sabres, I think this is how Catalana put it. I hope I have this right. There's been so much activity, obviously, but I think it was him. Like, they're being so bad for so long might actually help them today. Because a team dealing for, you know, any team getting a new guy thinks we can fix that guy. We can take those tools that he has. He obviously has raw tools that are very good, and we can make that work. We can you know, play him with the right guy or in the right situations or coach him up or whatever it is that you might think you can do. You're going to think you can do it with a guy that is big and can skate like he can skate and is physical, like has the attributes that Ristolainen has. He's still, I guess, to somebody out there, Philadelphia apparently, tempting to say, like, I don't care about all that stuff. We can make this work.
As long as the puck is not involved, there might be potential. Paul Hamilton coming up. We'll talk to Paul about this move, and will there be more? We have a big day ahead of us in the draft. Is at 8, the Sabres now with 2 first-round picks, and who knows where they go from here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton with Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ristolainen to Philadelphia for a 1, a 2, and a defenseman. That's happened today. That's real life. Not a would you take, because that would be a terrible would you take. We would all take it. We just played through, would you take him for a 1 alone? Yes. Would you take him for a 2? Probably. We're not privy to what's going on back there. We talked about Will Borgen the other day, and it was always sort of, I mean, I think most people would understand this, but apparently it's not everybody. Like, you just don't know what the conversations are. You have to hope that they had a plan, you know, like this. And what I said that day was, I'm just not optimistic about it because basically the history. But they did do it. They did get there. How about this one? If this was what they got for Reinhart, how do you react?
I would say not enough.
But it's not mass destruction either, right? Like, it's
no, it's not. But I would expect to get. I mean, the 13th pick is nice. It's an opportunity, and it's better than, you know, it's better than anything lower than that in the first round. But there's no guarantee there. And like, Reinhardt is proven to be very good, if not better than that. And I think I need something that's more established. Like I would need the player to be better. I would need Hag to be a better player. If that were the
yeah, all right
for Reinhart,
I would certainly want that, and I think it should be possible. I mean, that's been my position on him through this. I think it's probably most people's, which is he's worth a nice return. You make the point, and it's the right point often about his contract status makes it a little tougher to get exactly what you want. And even that with Ristolainen, right?
Right.
Like,
well, I don't know. Let's stay tuned for the Philadelphia announcement about a 5-year contract extension for Ristolainen.
Yeah, that's it. Do you not think that what they did here
of
forces their hand?
If I'm working in Philadelphia, I don't think I'm all that jazzed about giving up a first-round pick, a second-round pick, albeit in 2 years, and just some dude off my roster for a guy that might only be here for a year. So I'd be expecting a contract extension.
Paul Hamilton now on the Wester hotline. Paul, how about that point for you as we start here? Would you think that what Philadelphia has given up for Ristolainen means they probably extend him?
I would think so, yeah, if you're going to give up a first and a second. Now, the Hag part of it is just I think they had to clear a little money out. It's only $1.6 million, but it got a little bit of the money out of there. And, Buffalo, I think, wanted a defenseman for a year or two that they could have. He only has 1 year left. It's only $1.6 million. You make him a third pair of D, and you're all set. But, yeah, I think if you're going to give up a first and a second-round pick, I think you absolutely are going to try to extend him. I mean, they believe in him, obviously, or they're not going to pay that kind of price. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I never dreamed that the Sabres would be able to get a first-round pick for Rasmus Ristolainen. But one thing I did say about the Borgen part of it is, yeah, I didn't like them not protecting Borgen for Ristolainen, but we had to be careful, and I said that on the air with you guys. You know, we have to find out what they're going to get for Ristolainen before we know if that's a mistake or not, and obviously it wasn't a mistake. I mean, you were preserving a first and second round pick that you were going to get for Ristolainen, and that was obviously the right thing to do. You lose Borgen in the process. Oh well. I mean, you got a better deal by protecting Ristolainen.
You can never underestimate sort of the I'm trying not to be too incredibly harsh here. You never know, Paul. Like that's right. I mean, there are bad deals made in this league. And, sometimes a bad deal won't turn out to be a bad deal. And who knows on this one? Like, it's such a competitive league. Philadelphia might do fine. I mean, they have a decent team to begin with. They might do fine, but.
Well, Philadelphia uses him as a third pair guy. But considering they gave up a first and a second,
that's
right. What they have in mind. But, if you use him as a third pair guy, you're probably going to get pretty good play out of him.
Yeah, I think even maybe a second pair could work. They just got Ryan Ellis. So Ryan Ellis, I would think, goes up top with maybe Provorov and Ristolainen and, whomever. I don't have their depth chart memorized. But, playing there, 19, 21 minutes, something like that, a little power play, penalty kill. Maybe it works if he's not matched up against everybody's best guys all the time in your own zone, which is how they used him here. I mean,
and it never really – it would work for – 5 or 6 games, and then it wouldn't work for 15, 20 games. He would tantalize you at times and put together a little bit of a good streak where he played very well, but it never lasted, this last year, I think there were other circumstances. Him and McCabe were playing their best hockeys as pros. McCabe gets hurt. Ristolainen gets the worst case of COVID that anybody on the Sabres got, and he wasn't the same after that. So, but it was a good start for him. And now, we'll see what he might wind up with a guy that he can mesh with like he did with McCabe. And as you said, Bulldog, play a second or third pair and do fairly well. But if they put him on the first pair, I think they'll wind up in the same boat the Sabres were.
For the Flyers, and I don't know, I don't want to fixate on them, but when you put this with what they did with Gostisbehere, it's even more amazing. Like they traded a 1, 2 twos, a 7th, and a player, and Gostisbehere. For Ristolainen. Like, that's where that ends up.
Uh-huh.
Like, I know he's left-handed, Gostisbehere. I know he's left-handed. Like, that's a crime. Maybe that was a crime in, like, the 1600s, but that should not be a crime anymore, to be left-handed.
And, yeah. And he did have two more years left on this contract.
He had 2 years.
One, I think, right?
2 years at 4.5 right, versus still, 1 year at 5.4.
But still, it's stunning. Like, Paul, what kind of wheels are turning in your head about what having the 13th pick might mean? I mean, I don't know if you were listening at the outset of our show, but to me, that's in the goalie zone in the first round, which I don't love that idea much at all. I like the idea of them using 13 to maybe offset getting a higher pick from a team they deal Eichel to, and, like, you know, say Anaheim wants to give you some stuff and you want 3, and giving them 13 back along with Eichel sort of buffers that for them and makes it, you know, opens the doorway to getting that high pick.
Yeah. You know, I've always said I'm not going to spend a first round pick on a goaltender, but yet I do see, you know, what Tampa Bay's done with Vasilevsky and what he's helped that team. And they're just so strong from top to bottom, and they're strong in goal. And, you know, they spent a first-round pick on him. And we did see in the playoffs how important good goaltending is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I've been thinking about this and going back and forth about it. Do I want to reevaluate that stance? You know, if you get something in the middle, you know, Spencer Knight appears to be a pretty good pick for Florida. Why they signed Bobrovsky, I have no idea, if you're going to draft Spencer Knight in the first round, but whatever. That's the way Florida rolls. And you got Luukkonen, who I think they're very high on. I'm very high on Luukkonen. I liked what I saw last year. I don't know if he's ready right now to be a number one goaltender in the NHL, but it wouldn't shock me at all if he's above average goaltender in the NHL in a year or so. So, you know, they have to evaluate that. Do they have their guy? But he's a year right away. Type of a scenario. Portillo at the University of Michigan played very well his freshman year, but didn't get to play a lot of games. Well, they're going to find out about him this year because he's going to be Michigan's starting goaltender. Right. So what do they got
on
in
him?
On
a national title contending team, too. Like,
it'll, right, it'll, and they feel they got a good one there. So does that shy you away from taking one in the first round? With me, with those two prospects, it probably would. But I have been thinking about it and wondering if I should maybe change my stance on that, never take a goaltender in the first round.
What is our path, our likeliest path to a goalie this year? Is that going to be free agency?
It almost would have to be, unless you can find a good trade with that very, very unfortunate death in Columbus. You know, they may not have an extra goaltender to trade. You know, that people were targeting them, saying – they have 3 really good goalie prospects in their camp there, and, you know, maybe you could Merzlikins out of them, the type of thing. But with that tragedy that happened there, that might not happen anymore, where you can get a decent trade for that. So I hate to go to free agent. Who knows? You might get Allmark back. He might go on the market and find out he's not getting what he's asking, which I would think would be Demko money, let's say $5 million. I don't know. I want to stress, I don't know that's what he's asking. But if he is, and he should be, because he's better than Demko, in my opinion. And then, you know, it's the market. He gets on the market. It's out there. He's not getting what he wants. He could circle back to the Sabres. And then, well, I know Buffalo wants me, and they want me to be their number one goaltender. So maybe I'll come back to the same. So I haven't given up hope that Allmark would still be their number one goaltender. But even if that's the case, they got to get another one. You got to have 2.
Right.
But that isn't the likeliest scenario. Wouldn't you agree? Like, it's not the likeliest scenario is Allmark.
I kind of think it might be. I think Allmark's going to hit the market. And I can't. It's hard not knowing what he wants. But so I'm guessing. And if he wants around $5 million, I don't know if he's getting that. You know, so I don't know. I'm thinking it could come back to him that he winds up thinking maybe the Sabres would be the best place to go back to.
Right, but we don't want to make a big commitment there, right? Like, I've liked the Allmark idea on, like, a, you know, just playing out your scenario. He doesn't find what he wants on the market. Why is that? Like, his numbers are good, but he's had injury trouble. Like, I don't know that a team would want to make a big commitment to him financially, like salary-wise or term. And you know, I wouldn't want the Sabres to either. So if that's the market for him, then he's sort of in a prove-it type situation. And that's where I think Buffalo could pounce. Because if he wants to prove it, he's definitely going to be their guy. He would be their number one goalie. I would think if he comes back here on a one-year deal or even a two-year deal, he's their number one goalie. And so there's your opportunity to show that you can really do the job. And then you do this all over again next year. Or maybe it goes so well from October through February that then the Sabres commit to him. But I'm not crazy about that either, because Luukkonen is, to me, the guy in the pipeline that I want to be opening the door for. But I think there is a scenario there where Ullmark could find the market not to his liking.
And I, as you were talking, I was thinking to myself, I probably would not go past three. I was thinking a 2 to 3 year deal. And not, I would definitely not go past three. And probably be more comfortable with two. If it had to be three, if I'm going to get it for the money I want, I could probably live with that. Because even if Luukkonen comes along and does well, you still need two. So if you get him for on a 3 year deal for $3.5 to $4 million, something like that, even if Luukkonen, you know, realizes his potential. To me, you still need two good goaltenders, so I still think you'd be fine in that situation.
Paul,
I agree.
Eichel, Reinhart, I mean, obviously no moves yet, but we're now, what, a little over 4 hours away from the start. What's your hunch?
Yeah, I've been hearing, you know, the Ristolainen thing was probably the first one off the board. Darren Dreger was talking about that, and it made me make some phone calls, and so it didn't surprise me that came down when it did. Darren was talking about how it's gone eerily quiet on Reinhart, and he's right. When that happens, very often it's like, okay, something's brewing. You know, everybody's gotten quiet now, you know, and all of a sudden something happens. So it wouldn't shock me at all if we're back at this in a little while talking about that. It would probably surprise – it wouldn't shock me, but it would probably surprise me if we're talking about an Eichel deal today. But – it only takes a couple of hours to put that together. I mean, you've got framework. You've talked to everybody numerous times. So you know what they're offering. They know what you want. So the phone call could probably be done fairly quickly. You just have to tweak. All right, we'll give in on this if you give us that. You could probably do that quickly. You can get the medical records to somebody also very quickly, and things could come together for you. But
Would you say, excuse me, but would you guys say that the pressure comes off those deals a little bit with this other one? Like, would you connect them and think, you know, we've done really well here? I think most people would agree. Eichel is such an elite player that maybe it's wrong to connect them, but I wonder if you guys would do that.
I still think you need to do well in these other two also. I mean, you've done extremely well in this Ristolainen deal, better, as I said when we started, than I ever felt you could. So you've A-plus won that trade in my mind. But that doesn't mean you can just give up and say, all right, this is the best offer for Eichel, we're just going to take it, and then wind up with a Blues trade, the O'Reilly trade. I don't think Adams will. Adams isn't that type of person. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, he just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. That's I've known him for a number of years now, and that's what he's done in all the jobs I've seen him over there that he has. And that's why he's been successful in all the jobs he's had over there, is because of the way he pushes. So I wouldn't expect that from him at all, and I don't think he's going to give in. I think he has an idea of what he wants. He might give in a little bit, but I don't mean give in to a point of, well, all right, this is the best we can do. Well, let's just make the deal, and then you make a bad deal because it really wasn't the deal you should get for Eichel. I don't see that happening. Yeah, he's going to have to compromise a little bit probably, but I don't see him giving in.
I do not think it lessens the pressure at all. You need to get cornerstone-type foundational rebuild pieces in the Eichel trade. You did not get that in this trade with Ristolainen. You got a nice piece. The 13th pick is nice, but it is not can't miss guarantee star top six forward. That's what you need to get for Eichel, and to me, the pressure is all still there.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I agree. All right.
Absolutely. And the pressure is there, too, to draft well. You know, just because you have the 13th overall pick doesn't mean you're going to make the right pick, and doesn't mean they're ever even going to make the NHL. If we go back and investigate, I'm sure we're going to find some 13th overall picks who never made the NHL or didn't do very well in the NHL. So it's incumbent about Karmanos and Jerry Fortin. They're in charge of the draft. Karmanos is in past places he's been in, done a nice job. But now he's got to continue that with the Sabres. And just because they have the 13th overall pick doesn't mean it's going to be a good player. That's up to them to make sure they get one.
and a lot of luck. Like those whoever those 13th picks are over the years that didn't pan out, I bet they're not all terrible organizations, right? Like they're just, these are kids. So
yeah, you're drafting 18-year-olds and you're trying to project what they're going to be as 21 and 22-year-olds.
Not easy.
No, it's not.
Right. All right, thanks, Paul. Maybe we'll talk later.
Oh, as I said yesterday, I hope so.
Me too.
I'm counting on it. Paul's first appearance of the day on WGR is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Okay, what do you think, folks? 803-0550, Ristolainen to Philadelphia. Eichel, Reinhart still here. The draft tonight. The Sabres now with picks 1 and 13. Let us know what you're thinking. This is WGR.
When I look at Owen Power, to be able to find 6'6" defenseman who skates the way he skates, who can handle the pressures of playing in just about every situation against much older competition, either A, at the University of Michigan, the Chicago Steel before that, and then obviously Canada at the World, those types of players, they're unicorns. They're really hard to find, and if you have to go out and acquire them, they cost a lot. If you have to go out and try and acquire them via free agency, they cost you a ton of money in terms of average annual value and terms. So to be able to draft and develop this player is really, really something special.
Sam Cosentino this morning on WGR. If you want to hear the whole thing, go to WGR550.com or the Audacy app, AUDACY. That's on Owen Power, the likeliest choice to be the number one overall pick by the Sabres tonight. What percent chance?
94.
Would it or would it not be cool if they picked someone else? I think I could get into it.
I mean, it would be obviously very interesting, but I'm at, I think it would be a mistake. I think this kid has got real. I've grown to really be high on him. So I think they'd be making a mistake. Who knows? But I mean, right. I like the kid a lot.
What I don't like about the arguments I've heard is that they always seem to revolve, or at least include, a point about the world championships. And it's just such a short tournament, you know? Like, it's not that the guy doesn't have the pedigree. He was already one of the names. It's not like he just, you know, came out of nowhere or anything like that. But, you know, it's like in this interview today, I know it was also said, like, oh, well, how he did, you know, against in these situations against NHL players or with NHL players and these things. And, like, I mean, that's sort of a rare opportunity, relatively. And it's such a short tournament that I don't want to put too much stock in it. So I really don't like that point for the arguments for him. I mean, I accept that he did well. Okay, like, I'm not going to fight it. I just feel like, you know, some people thought other guys were more deserving. And I'm also here for something unconventional, so that's it. But 94%, huh?
At DraftKings, he's minus 1,400 to be the first overall pick.
What's next? Who's next at what odds?
So they have, like, over-unders for different players. So Power, it's under 1.5, minus 1,400. Beniers is under 2.5, minus 300.
Yeah.
The
thing about that point, Mike, about the short sample size, is that every prospect that is up at that has that status, that is baked into their rating. Like Beniers, well, he played a pivotal role on the USA World Junior team. Yeah, okay, that was 2 weeks. You know, like you get that. Like the sport and at that level, like those marquee events. I mean, the World Championship is usually not a proving ground for guys that are about to get drafted. That's what makes it a point worth making for him, is that at his age, he went and performed there and did that. I mean, he hasn't played in the World Juniors yet. So we'll see maybe about that next year if he stays in college, or even if he comes here. I suppose the Sabres could let him go to play in the juniors if they wanted him to and he wanted to. The teams do occasionally do that.
Mm-hmm.
Those showcase events are what raise and lower guys' stock often. I mean, I'm not here to say that it's right. So you're making, I think, a good point, but I would be encouraged. I'll put it this way. If he had played in the World Juniors and been great in the World Juniors, he'd be getting a lot of credit for that. And a lot of people would have watched it and would have been bigger fans of his sooner. But he didn't. He played in the World Championships against men, against NHL players, and flourished. I think that outranks performing well in the World Juniors. In the way that it's done in this sport, I mean, I'm encouraged by that. It's not everything, but I think it's a very, very positive sign that he was confident, comfortable, like just calm. He did a great job in that tournament.
Minus 1,400 to be pick one is a pretty clear sign that he is almost, you know, unanimously expected to be that pick. So that's where we're at here a few hours out. Pick one, pick 13. I don't suppose you could bet on pick 13, which is technically pick 14.
Right.
But one of the earlier picks, Arizona, was forfeited. So it'll actually be the 13th pick tonight if the Sabres keep it. We've got that. Ristolainen leaves after 8 years. What about Jack and Sam? We are still waiting to find out. There was another trade in the league just a minute ago involving the Rangers, and we'll have that for you in the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.